Welcome to The Upside with Callie and Jeff, home of the almost homeowners.
I'm shocked at how freely you're throwing that around, even though we're closing on the house tomorrow. Nothing can really go wrong at this point, but never say never.
I mean, I wouldn't say that because I feel like that's jinxing it, but I was waiting for you to be excited because we got a text from our mortgage guy saying, you know, you're qualified to, like, you're
clear to close.
That's what he said. And Jeff was like, I think I'm going to tear up. And I was like, oh, finally, Jeff will feel secure that we're actually getting this house. And there you go again. We are 24 hours from closing on this house. And you're like, well, maybe it won't happen.
I'm not saying maybe it won't happen. I'm just saying things can happen. I will say that I was talking to a couple people yesterday about it. And obviously, we love the house, which is why we have been trying to buy it for 6 months. It seems like how long? 4 months?
Since November 1st.
We made an offer on November 1st.
Yeah.
So we've been working out that since then. We love the neighborhood. We love our neighbor. Everything is fantastic. But I think I'm most excited about just not moving.
Oh my gosh. Someone, and I had kind of forgotten that exciting part of all of this. And someone on Instagram was like, just think, you don't have to move for the longest time. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have to move for the longest time.
We don't have to move until we decide we want to move.
I've moved every 2 years, max 2 years since I went away to college.
Yeah.
So I've been moving constantly and I'm so excited to be in one place. Now
I was talking to somebody yesterday. I was doing a consultation and just a small talk before we got into the business stuff. And I was saying, it's been crazy and moving or whatever. She moved, I think she said, when she was pregnant. Then again, when the kid was 6 months old, and then again, when the kid was 18 months old.
Oof.
Can you imagine?
Well, last time we moved, I mean, a little bit, because we moved when I was 7 months pregnant. And then we moved again when Ellie was
6 months old.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I can't imagine that.
It's almost like a new home, Callie, is your push present.
It is like my push present. I'm taking some money out of my 401k, like for the closing thing. And this process, if you didn't know, you can either take money out of your 401k as a loan, or you can take money out early, meaning if you're, you know, under 59 and a half. And then there's tax penalties to it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this in a smart way. I'm going to be a smart girl because I am a grown adult. And when I'm doing this, I'm going to make sure that I'm maximizing it for tax purposes, right? Because before I would have just been like, all right, I'm just going to take money out. And then I would have dealt with it later.
And just deal with it next year on April 15th.
Which is what I would have done for the past 38, that's the decision I would have made for the past 38 years. 38-year-old Callie says, no, I'm going to do this in a smart way that I will thank myself for come tax time 2025. So I start looking into different ways to do that because I'm also a first-time homebuyer. So there's like some, you know, ways that you can, there's a level that you can pull out that doesn't have a penalty coming with it, right? You still have to pay taxes on it, but it's not penalized an astronomical amount. So I'm doing all of this research and I'm doing all of these things and trying to get my hands on my own money is way harder than it should be. And I mean, I spent probably 5 hours yesterday on phone calls with financial advisors, a CPA, whatever, trying to get this money out without losing pretty much all of it to taxes. And I swear I was thinking of, you know, when in Mean Girls, when the PE teacher is teaching sex ed.
I remember the movie, but
he's like, you will get chlamydia and die. And I feel like that's what the IRS is with taking money, your own money out. They're like, you're going to die. You will owe $1 million.
Well, you've seen the meme, right? That goes around on social media where it says, citizen, dear IRS, I'd like to pay my taxes. IRS, Send us some money. Citizen, how much? IRS, you figure it out. Citizen, what if I get it wrong? IRS,
jail.
That's the conversation, which is so true.
I mean, you, like two nights ago, you saw me and you were like, Callie, put the computer down. Like, I was reading through every single little line of like, you know, here's the penalty for this. And if you do this wrong, here's what happens and all of these things. And my head was, I think I looked like that emoji with the pinwheel eyes. That's like, ooh, like dizzy eyes.
Meanwhile, I've been watching YouTube videos on how to build garage shelves and stuff.
We are, you know, we're just really turning into grownups the past month.
I think.
Are you intent on doing this yourself because it feels good as a homeowner or because we officially have no money after we buy this house?
It's a couple of things. One, it's a lot of things. One, when you're doing something in your own house, you have more pride in it.
I totally agree.
You know what I mean? You've been doing it too. We've just, because we've been in a holding pattern up until about 10 days ago, we just like the closet that the kids' clothes was in was just kind of a disaster.
We were storing stuff. We were avoiding our attic altogether because we didn't want to have to move stuff if we were going to move again out of the attic, stuff.
We got the pull-down ladder, so it's a pain in the butt to go up there. So stuff was in the garage that would have normally gone in the attic, and like the kids' closets were messy, and we weren't really – like we need a new comforter on our bed, but we didn't want to buy one because we didn't – you know what I mean? There's just stuff happening or not happening because everything was pending. And then as it gets closer to definite, you know, you are doing all the financial stuff, which is outstanding and amazing. And you're doing a great job with it, better than I ever could. And so that's great. But you're also like, I don't know. It's just different. It's just, it's a different, the mental switch is different. So I'm excited. We just have stuff. Right?
I'm gonna tell you something. You're listening to the show. Here's what I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you an embarrassing thing that Jeff and I have had in our home for the past like 2 years. The first month that we moved in to this house, the toilet paper roll broke off the wall. And we set it on the bathtub saying, we'll get to it later. It's been a year and a half. We haven't fixed it. And guess what? When we found out that we were approved for that loan, Jeff, I think that you found out and you are already halfway out the door to Home Depot to get the stuff to repair that.
To get a bracket to fix it. The reason we didn't fix it is, this is so silly. The reason that we didn't fix it is because it seemed like an insignificant thing to call the landlord about.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it also seemed too significant, like going to buy the new bracket and taking it off the wall and having to patch a hole and paint and then put it, whatever.
We don't want to invest that $12 in a house that we're not going to own.
And the time. And then my thing is, what if it goes? So it was kind of, but then nothing ever went wrong with the house. So there were two or three
things.
Right, like
there's water shooting out of somewhere in your house. You want to call your landlord.
Right, and then when she comes over, we could also say, oh, by the way, the toilet paper holder fell off. Can you fix that while you're here?
Right.
But there was really, and then the one time we did have to call her about something, it was the sink. Remember the faucet was dripping and dripping and then dripping even more? She just said, hey, do you guys have a plumber? And we did.
We know a guy.
We're like, we know a guy. And she goes, okay, just go fix it. And then deduct it from the rent. So we probably could have asked him to do it. But anyways, so it's just a different mental shift. And Olivia is very happy about it, clearly.
She's so happy.
But yeah, so by the next episode of this podcast,
we should.
There's a 98% chance that we'll be homeowners.
Yeah.
Hi guys, it's Kayla calling from California. I was wondering about Jeff's, I think you called it SVT. He had mentioned that he was planning to have surgery for it. Sounds super scary, but I think that my fiance actually has something pretty similar. And I was wondering, since he only has episodes once every few years, how you guys got it diagnosed in the first place. Because anytime that my fiance has been to a cardiologist or a doctor, he has never – been diagnosed. They've always, we've always left with unanswered questions. And so I was just curious how you guys got to the point of a diagnosis. I know this is a little bit of an outdated topic, but Jeff, I hope you're doing well. And thanks.
I got my diagnosis because I was like 10 years ago, I had gone out for either a walk or a run or a hike or something, and my heart just never slowed down, and it actually was beating really unusually fast. So I came home, and Callie was actually coming home from work that day because we had an event to go to that night, and I met her in the driveway and said, something's wrong with my heart. I've got to go to the emergency room. I need you to drive me. And it must have been the look on my face because Callie said, okay, get in. Typically, when I have a medical complaint, she says, is it really that bad?
But well, because you're a little bit of a hypochondriac. So I'm like, like if you have a headache for a day, you're like, I definitely have a brain tumor. But you're right. Convinced. I mean, you're not being silly. You really think that maybe maybe that's a possibility.
I like to communicate ailments that are unusual to the people around me, because if they take me out, right, I want that person to be able to tell the paramedic, well, he did say he had a headache, and I want you to know exactly where it was.
Yeah.
He did say that his heart was racing, and I want you to know exactly the circumstances around. He did say that he had a paper cut, really bad one. On his
right.
finger.
And it's like so bad. I know you might have to remove the finger. That's what it was from. It was from the paper cut.
So I went into the hospital and they diagnosed it at the hospital and said it was SVT. I don't know how, if you go into the doctor or the emergency room and it's not happening, I don't know how they
would diagnose
it. I don't know how they diagnose it. But the first doctor I saw, the first cardiologist, was all gung-ho and said, we got to do this procedure and you have drugs and this and that and all this other stuff. And then the older guy, I mean, this guy was fresh out of medical school. And then the next morning, the cardiologist came in and he was probably 6 months from retirement. And he said, look, sometimes this only happens once in your whole life. So.
And there's no rhyme or reason.
Right.
It's not related to like cholesterol or your high blood pressure, or it's just something that happens.
And so that guy said, I would wait and see if it happens again. It did happen a second time, but when it happened the second time, it just happened to be right before Christmas. It was 5 years later, almost to the month.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened right before Christmas, and we had a lot going on. So it ended up falling by the wayside. I should have taken care of it then. I didn't. And then the third time it happened was a couple weeks ago. And while it was in the hospital, I said,
the third time it happened that required hospitalization.
Yeah, because I can feel my heart fluttering every now and again. And there's also a couple tricks you can do if you feel it coming on. The one that works the best for me is ice water on the face.
And by ice water on the face, that's a very nice way of saying finding a giant bowl, putting a ton of ice in it, and then you dunk your head.
Well, the other option
in
is
the ice water
is to put an ice pack on your forehead, and that really hurts.
Yeah, I bet. So, I'm sure it does.
So I just dunk my face, and that helped it. So it's probably happened. It's happened severely three times, and it's probably happened three or four other times where I'm like, I think this is about to happen, or, well, there it goes. And then within 2 minutes, it's gone. 5 minutes, however long it takes me to get ice water on my face.
So you're having surgery at the end of the month?
Yeah, they call it a procedure.
It's outpatient. You can't drive. Like, I have to be there, but it's not, you don't have to stay overnight.
And the driving is because of the anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think they completely knock me out. I think they do.
Our friend Jimmy had it done, and he told us that they call it twilight, but you're so out of it, you don't remember anything.
Yeah.
So you're not technically fully out, but you might as well be because you're not going to remember.
The biggest complaint that people have with the procedure is after it's done, you have to lie completely flat. On a completely flat, like on
that's
a,
weird, by the way,
on a metal table,
okay,
without even a pillow or anything, for an hour to make sure that no clots happen or something. I don't know why. I don't even know why you have to lie completely flat, but you have to lie completely flat. So that's the biggest, that's the complaint that everybody has. But yeah, I don't know how to get it diagnosed unless you are in the hospital. Maybe they can put a heart monitor on you, but if it only happens once every couple of years, you don't want to do that.
Hey, Kelly and Jeff, it's Lisa. With regards to your tree removal estimate, my husband used to own a tree removal company. So just a couple of things. When it comes to an estimate for a tree, I'm very skeptical of the guy that didn't come out and look at it, because there are a lot of factors that go into it. It's what's the location of the tree? What kind of landscaping do you have? Because that's going to indicate whether they can drop the limbs or if they have to rope them down. Roping them down is going to be more expensive. Is it big enough that they are going to need a crane? Where can they put the crane? There's a lot that goes into it. And my husband always said, even as an owner, don't go with the highest, don't go with the lowest, go with whatever's kind of in between. Tends to be the safest. But regardless of who you choose, verify their insurance and their bonding. And by that verification, I mean, don't take their word for it. Get the information, call the companies that insure and bond them, and verify that it is still current. I've known too many people that there's been an issue on their property. They thought that the company was insured and bonded, and it wasn't current. And they were left holding the bag. So definitely do those things. If you haven't gotten a quote from Northside Tree Professionals, I would recommend getting one from them, because they do service the Dunwoody-Sandy Springs area pretty heavily. So good luck. Tree removal is not cheap. I can tell you that.
Spoken like a true professional. I mean, that pretty much covers everything we wanted to know.
Yeah.
Calling the insurance company, like, I wouldn't have thought to do that, but that's actually really smart, because if they just say, oh yeah, I'm insured, and their coverage lapsed or something, and the tree falls on your house or on them, like, you're screwed.
Or I think you probably have to make sure that they're covered for tree removal.
Yeah.
And because
not like landscaping,
a couple of the
people
who've come out are landscapers who also say, yeah, we can take the tree down.
Right. And that's,
Hey guys, or hi again. The lady that was just calling about the Pyrex, how the little pea can go in the oven and the big pea cannot, or whatever order it is. I learned that a very, very hard and dangerous way. I was in college and I put something in the Pyrex into the oven, and I made the mistake of taking it out and then setting it down on the counter, which was cold. And the whole thing exploded, and I'm not exaggerating. Glass, like a piece of glass, cut my neck. I don't know how it didn't get in my eyes or hurt my animals. It was terrifying. And that needs to be written bigger or something. So I called Pyrex, and, you know, they explained everything, but they did send me a bunch of free stuff, which was kind of nice. But, yeah, watch out for the Pyrex. I just don't put it in the oven at all. If you're Pyrex, you're not going in the oven. All right, bye.
That, we'll take calls about anything. 800-434-5454. There is nothing, there's few things as horrifying as a Pyrex type thing breaking.
Shattering.
Because it's, I know it's all safety glass, you know, it's like supposed to be safe, but it's a gazillion pieces, and it's like a,
not only that,
it's like a grenade.
And you'll be finding it for weeks.
Right.
Maybe months.
I know it's probably borderline dangerous, you know, maybe even child abuse, but one thing that Ellie's really good at is spotting glass.
Yes, she's really good at that.
So she has stood on the edge of our kitchen once when I broke a piece of glass, and there was like one piece I couldn't, maybe it's because, she's got younger eyes.
Yeah.
And she's closer to the ground. So I said, Ellie, just can you stand over there and look? And she's like, looks for a second. And she goes, it's right there. From like 15 feet away. Okay, thanks.
Young eyes.
I know this is a G-rated show, but Jeff, when you're talking about Delilah and you said, does she have a penis? I thought you said something else. And then you continue to say, tickling the ivories. I am dying. I have not stopped laughing. Anyways, I like that Callie said a piano player. happy Monday.
Yeah, because the
pianist.
Yeah, the music was behind her the whole time, so mm-hmm. I thought she just had a traveling pianist.
I do like to brag about my sleep routine, but there are some things that I do very poorly, such as I am a bedtime scroller. I scroll through my phone and I know it's bad, and then I'll be tossing and turning if I do that, and I just go down this internet rabbit hole. And I know that that is the same for other people. You're like, I'm going to get in bed early tonight. It's great. And then you're on, you know, TikTok or whatever for an hour. Check your phone. You missed your sleep time. Well, there is a really good way to develop A-plus sleep habits, and it is something that you have to practice, right? But we have had such great success with our Hatch. There are so many things that try and keep us up at night. Maybe it's a to-do list, your work project, some bills that are due, social media, our favorite shows, whatever, you name it. There are a million things that you can be doing that to avoid sleep, but Hatch wants you to sleep, and they help you choose sleep and creative bedtime habits that make you feel better at night and energized in the morning. Can I get an amen for that? The Hatch Restore helps you build sleep habits that make your unwind and your wake routine simple and enjoyable. For a screen-free bedtime, even when your to-do list wants you to choose otherwise. It is a work in progress, but we are always working to improve our sleep habits, and we're doing it with Hatch. We have been a Hatch family for 5 years now. The girls have one. Jeff and I have one. We absolutely love it, and it's a really beautiful product too, so it blends in right with your bedroom. And with the Hatch Plus subscription, you can unlock premium routine building features like Cue to Unwind, which signals you that it's time for bed, and Pillow Talk, which is an audio series, which is like your favorite bedtime TV shows if you're a TV watcher at night, but without the screens that really keep you from getting into good sleep. Right now, Hatch is offering Upside listeners $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/upside. Visit hatch.co/upside to get $20 off and free shipping. Hatch.co/upside. Medicine and making doctor's appointments used to be a whole thing, and I would dread trying to find a new doctor because you just have to ask your friends, and if your friends don't know anyone, then it goes on that microanxiety list, and then you sit there and you're like, wow, I really should see a dermatologist about, you know, just get a mole check. People are doing that. It's a smart thing to do. Oh, but then I have to ask. It used to be a whole thing. Well, now it's not a whole thing because you have ZocDoc, and ZocDoc is an incredible website. It's free, and you can look up doctors and read reviews about them from other real people, which is incredible because you're getting all these reviews before you go, and you can even find things out like, you know, what the office atmosphere was like, and, you know, did you have a good experience, you know, with whatever, XYZ, and other people are reviewing it, so you know what you're walking into before you pick your doctor, and you can pick the right doctor for you. That's how I found my OB for my last pregnancy. And you can instantly book with these doctors online. That is right. You heard me correctly. No calling and waiting on hold. ZocDoc is a free app and a website where you can search and compare highly related in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. I am such a huge fan. It makes everything so easy. And there are things in life that you have to compromise on. Don't let your healthcare be one of them. Don't go back to the doctor that you really didn't vibe with. There is no need for that now that we have ZocDoc. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score some same day appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/upside and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/upside. ZocDoc.com/upside. Here are your random things for today. Jeff,
this week.
Oh, yeah. Here are your random things for the week. Old habits die hard. Jeff, in solidarity with you being 50 years old, there's a list of iconic things that turn 50 this year that will be in your company.
Besides me.
Besides you. The Rubik's Cube.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was an 80s thing.
70s.
Huh.
Post-it notes.
Okay, I knew that. I knew that I was born the same year as Post-it notes.
The UPC barcode.
Okay.
Now that's kind of amazing. Bailey's Irish Cream.
Okay.
He's younger than you. The Heimlich Maneuver.
All right. I've actually had the Heimlich Maneuver done on me. Did you know that?
I did know that.
I was at a friend's house for dinner, and it was me and him and his wife and their kid, who was probably younger than one at the time, or maybe one. Mm-hmm. And I had a piece of garlic toast in my mouth, and he said something that was funny. So I took it. I was laughing.
Yeah.
And when I took a breath in, I could feel... It was like a piece of crust. I could feel it flip up and go right over. And it's such a freaky feeling because it happened right at the start of the breath. I couldn't even, there's nothing in my lungs to try to cough it up.
Yeah.
So I was like making the face and he jumped up and did the Heimlich and it did fly out and it freaked out the kid. I felt so bad. But
oh my gosh.
And then I had another incident. Where, you know what Andes candies are? They're the mint. They're the little tiny candies.
A-N-D-E-S.
Yeah. And they're chocolate on the bottom, dark chocolate on the bottom, and then mint stuff on top. Mm-hmm. Similar situation. We're all at dinner, whatever, hanging out. And I eat the candy and was laughing. And somebody, and the mint landed like on the back of my throat.
Ouch.
And it burned.
Yeah.
Like it hurt. So I'm laughing and coughing at the same time, but my eyes are watering and I was maybe turning red. I don't know, but I definitely wasn't choking. Like it was 100%.
Yeah.
And the guy sitting next to me looked at me and he leapt up and tried to pull me up.
Bless him.
To do the Heimlich. And I had to wave him off and like mouth the words, "I'm not choking. It just burns."
Bless him for being ready, though. Also 50 this year, Stephen King's first novel, Carrie, Connect Four, Skittles, Modern Liposuction. The word modern kind of freaks me out because what the heck were they doing before? You know, don't even want to go there. DayQuil, Dungeons and Dragons, and People Magazine. I did not realize People Magazine had been around that long.
Ariana Grande's 98-year-old grandmother has made history as the oldest person on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
That is the cutest thing ever.
She's a guest on Ariana's song Ordinary Things, which debuted at number 55 on the chart. This is her first credited feature. This is her first co-writing credit. And she is, they call her Nona, and she is the oldest person to make an appearance on
How
the Hot 100.
How cute is that?
Yeah.
That's so cute. I hope that Ariana for Christmas like gets her a framed plaque of that, you know?
Well, the album. You know, I'm sure they still do gold albums. And platinums.
Yeah.
Platinum albums, that would be so cool.
Yeah. All right, I have a couple more random things, but I'm going to have to save one of them for Friday because I have a hungry baby and Olivia waits for no podcast.
I
did want to say one of my random things, the last one I'll close with this, is that it's Big Bird's birthday today.
Big Bird?
Big Bird's birthday. He is perpetually 6 years old, but it is his birthday, so happy birthday, Big Bird. And something I learned about Big Bird when I heard that is that there are no eye holes in that suit. There's like a camera that the guy who's wearing it, looks at to see where Big Bird is going.
Fascinating. And you know what else is not in that suit? There's no a-holes. Because you can't be an a-hole and be Big Bird. Right, Olivia?
That is the weirdest thing you've ever said.
Not even close.
And those are your random things for today, and I will have your last one for you on Friday.